This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
You're listening to Bollywood Weekly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. We have actually made it back for 2 weeks in a row, which is already an achievement. yeah. This is your host, Aditya, and I have with me Bharat Mishra.
Hi, guys.
and I also have with me a very sore throat. So, Bharat, you're going to do most of the talking.
Okay. Cool. We're actually sitting like very at other ends of... I don't know where Aditya is, to be frank.
No, I'm still in Bombay. So we're not that far away.
Okay. I'm vacationing in Rajasthan. So yeah, there.
Did you intend to be vacationing in Rajasthan, or are you only there because you lost your bag and had to travel there to get it?
No, yeah. I mean, I was planning to vacation in Haryana, but since I left my bag in the train, I had to take a detour to Rajasthan. Anyway, that's, yeah, cool.
Okay. Anyway, getting to this week's actual topic of discussion, which is the film Kala, Rajinikanth's latest film.
Yeah. I think we had a big on my Facebook wall when I posted about this film, and I had asked people to watch it in Hindi because of the dialogue delivery of Nana Patekar, to be specific. And I actually picked up a fight with one of the Tamil-speaking people in my friends list. And they said that, let me correct it for you. Watch it in Hindi only if you don't understand Tamil. But then, in a review by Bharadwaj Rangan, who's one of the most respected reviewer of South Indian movies, and he reviews movies across all languages, but he's most famous for his Tamil and Telugu and Malayalam reviews. He has said that it should be watched in Hindi if you want to enjoy the full extent of Nana Patekar's dialogues, which he quotes, and I'll be paraphrasing him. He says, when Nana Patekar speaks in Tamil, he sounds like Kajal Agarwal. so
yeah,
that's where my recommendation was coming from.
Yeah.
So no offense to all Tamil speakers. Anyway, going to the movie.
Yeah. So, I liked this film, quite a bit. Uh-huh. The one thing I found interesting though, and this is not, a factor in whether it was good or not. But usually when I watch any Tamil film or any Rajinikanth film, it feels like I'm watching a dubbed film, or it feels like I'm watching a film that has been made in another language. But with this film, it didn't actually feel that way, because I think most of Nana Patekar's sequences are actually shot in Hindi as well.
Yeah.
And even like the entire movie is set in Bombay, in Dharavi. And you have a lot of familiar faces in the cast, apart from Nana Patekar. Like, you have Huma Qureshi, you have Pankaj Tripathi, who I was very surprised to see.
Very surprised to watch. And he is surprisingly not playing a Bihari or a UPI, or a North, for that matter. He's a Maharashtrian, Patil.
Right? Yeah. So all of that, it was like this, almost like a crossover film. It was like there was parts of it which are very similar to what you would see in other Tamil films, but then there are parts of it which feel very different from that. But that aside, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I think it was a very interesting. What I really liked about the film was that it brings together both the kind of sensibilities, you know, the typical massy sort of superstar image that Rajnikanth has. It still it toes that line, but by in doing that, it sort of ideologically talks about the Dalit movement, and it hit. I mean, I won't say it blatantly talks about it, but it most clearly, you know, talks about it in indirect ways, but very clearly, so that you get it, right? Like, there's the character of Nana Patekar is basically a Narendra Modi-like figure.
Yeah.
And they don't make it, like, they make it very obvious that there are references to, say, a digital Dharavi, and then there are references to a clean India. So even though they don't say it completely, we know what they mean. And also, interestingly, they never use the word Dalit in the film. So
yeah,
it's always very clearly and strongly hinted at that Kala belongs to the lower caste. And this guy belongs to a upper caste, which is fixated with purifying the entire area, right?
Yeah.
So I liked that subtext, although there is criticism of that as well.
Criticism being that it's not direct enough, or?
Yeah, it's not direct enough. It's not, it's basically taking the good, like the convenient parts of it and not talking about it in great detail and trying to bank on the superstardom of Rajnikanth and sort of also making it a political vehicle for him, because we all know that he's venturing into politics and he is taking quite a few political stands in the film and beyond the film. So there is very easy, and with a lot of fans of Rajnikanth, both in the north and mostly in the south, they sort of believe what they're shown, like that's what hero worshipping is, right? You believe that is no different from the characters. So that way he's portrayed himself as this sort of savior of the lower castes, right? So that is a valid criticism, according to me. I don't see that that's wrong. What do you think?
So, I mean, I don't know, like a lot about, Rajni's, like, personal, like, leanings into politics and all of that. But I find the fact that it's not direct to also be poetic in a way, because a big part of the film and one of the big themes that they address is the fact that, if you speak up against the government, and the current government especially, you are silenced in some way or the other, whether through gundagiri or through violence or through, and oftentimes through those means, through very like unsavory means. And it's almost like, you know, the government will obviously never directly say, oh yeah, we have organized this or we have orchestrated this, but they kind of silently condone it, or their hand is behind it in some way. So I think the fact that he has not gone all out is in a way kind of catering to that, right? Like, if I did go all out, this is what would happen to me. It's like showing the audience, like, here's what I'm trying to say. It's very clear to you, but I can't say it because this is the country we live in. This is the sad reality of the times we are. So I liked that layer of kind of meaning to it as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's very interesting. That's one way to look at it.
Yeah, at least that was the impression I got. It's like you said, it's you know, it's like two films coexisting in one, because you have a lot of this strong political commentary, and even the situations and the settings that you see in the film, they're all quite real and quite believable for the most part. But then in between, of course, because you have superstar Rajnikanth, you have to have that, you know, those action sequences and.
Those sequences, I think, are done really well. I mean, they're not done shoddily. It's not like, if I were to compare it to, say, how action is done in recent Bollywood films, it's done better here because the set pieces are actually making sense. Like,
correct.
It's not, there is a certain difference from how Dabang mein Salman Khan fights and how Rajnikanth fights in this film, you know?
Yeah, it's polished. So, like, there's one action sequence where, you know, for the entire, the whole sequence, Rajnikanth, all he uses is an umbrella. Yeah. And he like beats up like five guys, six guys, whatever. And he ends up, sorry, spoiler alert for, actually, we don't need to go into spoilers for this necessarily. So we'll try to do it without spoilers. But, and then he ends up, you know, winning the fight, put it that way. But, and when you say that to someone, oh yeah, Rajnikanth fights six guys with an umbrella. And you think, oh yeah, what typical. Yeah. Unrealistic, mindless cinema. But when you see it on screen, it doesn't actually feel like that. It feels much more polished and real.
Yeah, it feels labored, like in the sense that Rajnikanth also struggles, you know, at points.
Correct.
It's not like a breeze in the, like, Walk in the Park. And there's also another sequence which I really was taken by surprise by. The one blockbuster line that he has. Like he's been surrounded and he knows that there's been a trap laid out for him. And he says, kya re setting a... And that's when you're expecting him to sort of beat the crap out of these guys.
Yeah.
But spoiler alert, his men just come in, like intervene at the last moment and he doesn't even lift a finger.
Yeah.
This is set up to be like that big fight, the first big fight in the movie, right? And it subverts that expectation. And people actually reacted very well to it, you know? They didn't die, like, at least in the theater hall that I was in, people are still cheering and like shouting loudly because they could understand the point that this person is too so important and so influential that he doesn't need to actually go into a fight himself to have everybody else, his nemesis beaten up.
Yeah.
Even that, the umbrella fight, that doesn't happen because people corner him. That's because he wants to fight them.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So it's by choice. It's always by choice with the Rajnikant in this film.
Yeah, that's true.
So I really like that.
Yeah. There are many scenes of just Rajnikant and Nana Patekar exchanging dialogues back and forth.
Yeah, which are my favorite parts.
So they're very engaging to watch.
Yeah.
I kind of felt it was a bit like overkill after a point. It's like, okay, here are two people who want to kill each other, but they are like just playing this game of cat and mouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the sake of it. And there were like a few details that I felt were just kind of unnecessary. Like there's that one... sequence where Rajnikant goes to Nana Patekar's house.
Yeah.
You know, Nana Patekar's, I think, granddaughter.
Yeah. Like, comes yeah. in
and, you know, he tells her to bring him a glass of water. And so she gives him the glass of water and Rajnikant kind of says thanks her and pats her on the head. And then as she's walking out, she stops. She looks at Nana Patekar and she's like, he seems like a very nice man. Please don't kill him. And this is a girl who's 12 years old or something, 13 years old maybe.
No, but dude, there's a precedence to it. So he says in front of her before, sometime back in a few scenes before, he says that ye kala ka matlab Ravan, Ravan ka khatma kiya jata, like something like that. He sets it up. He says that we need to kill Ravan. And later when she meets him, that's what I think the callback is to.
No, but even in the first setup of that callback, he says that Kala is Ravan, and then his grandson or someone says, iska matlab, Ram Ravan ko marna padta hai, right? Like something like that. And then Nana Patekar just laughs. So, I mean, my whole thing is like, I find it weird that even the kids are just openly talking about, haan chalo isko marte, isko nahi marte. Like,
yeah,
I found that, it a bit strange.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
But the dialogue bazi is like just killer, dude.
It's really good, yeah.
It's really good. And I think a lot of... Actually, I'm just referring to the Tamil review. A lot of it is actually in Hindi. So there are Tamil subtitles for a lot of the film. And that is something that he pointed out, the reviewer pointed out specifically and said that it gets a little distracting for the average Tamilian viewers, you know, average watcher, because we as maybe people who watch foreign language films are used to reading subtitles, but say a cinema hall in Tamil Nadu where people have only ever watched Tamil films, they might find it a little distracting to sort of read about 30-40% of the film in subtitles, right?
Yeah, fair enough. I find that surprising, actually. I thought they must have shot those sequences in Tamil and in Hindi.
I think some of the sequences that we heard in Hindi were actually the same
in the Tamil film.
Because I remember that in the teaser of the film, Nana Patekar ka wo wala line aata hai, where he says, Kala, kaisa naam hai? Like that line.
Yeah.
And even in the Tamil trailer, it's in Hindi.
Right.
So I think they kept some of the bits in Hindi and retained it.
Hmm.
So yeah, anyway.
In general, I think all the supporting cast did a good job. I thought Ishwari Rao, who plays his wife, was probably the best.
Yeah, dude. She was really good. She was really good.
Uma Qureshi was quite disappointing, I felt.
Dude, I didn't find her role to be very meaty, to be honest. I mean, it was really, the entire romantic track was the letdown for me.
Yeah, and also, it felt a little strange where Uma Qureshi basically plays Rajnikant's former love interest, like when he was much younger. And she suddenly reappears after many years. Yeah. And he has been married. He has like multiple grown-up kids, etc. I found it very weird that as soon as she comes, suddenly, his behavior just completely changes. And I can understand like there's awkwardness, but he just like starts shouting at people and he is just like extremely twitchy.
Yeah.
And I also find it weird that everyone else around them in front of his wife is just openly talking about, oh, he might run away without you and he might, whatever. You better watch out and stuff. And it's like, that's weird. Like, I don't think you would actually do this, especially when you can see also that his behavior is changing.
Yeah. But you know, it's sort of justified later when, like, later in the next scene, I think, when there's the backstory is provided. They were about to get married. They were almost married.
Yeah.
They were on the marriage, this thing, ceremony. In the marriage ceremony, they were separated. So I think, I mean, they're not just ex-lovers, you know, they're almost ex-soulmates, to put it that way, you know?
Yeah, so, I guess. But I would still, like, from a human decency point of view, like, I would not, like, go around just yelling it.
Yeah, that I get.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. By and large, I think we both like it. And yeah, please go watch it in Hindi.
Please go watch it, I think, first, as a first step. In any language. The other thing I really liked about this film was the music.
It's good.
And like the whole thing is set in Dharavi, and in at least in Bombay, like Dharavi in recent times has become synonymous with like the whole underground hip hop movement and stuff.
Yeah.
With people like Divine and Easy and stuff. And I like that they kept that as well, like in the music. It remains true to that kind of genre of music and telling stories of the streets through that. Even in, there's like one funeral scene, we won't tell you who dies, but there's one funeral scene also where these group of guys are kind of rapping and it's still done kind of nicely, subtly. So I quite like that.
It's not shoddily done. The entire rap, like, usually when people say get the brief of adding a rap song because to represent the rap culture, they might tend to fuck it up. But here what they do is, and this is doubly impressive because they did it in two languages, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And it's rap. Like, rap is usually restricted to that single language because of the meaning of the words, right? So, but they have to quite a bit of success, they've put Tamil and Hindi lyrics onto these rap songs. And it's, in fact, there's a fun fact here. I don't know whether you know that Varun Grover wrote the lyrics of the Hindi raps.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know that.
Not all, I think, but the last song, the song that plays in the climax.
Yeah.
That's the lyrics are written by Varun Grover.
Yeah, interesting. It's not surprising in a way.
Because it's well written also, right?
Yeah. Should we address the climax?
I don't think we should, but it's just, I really like it. I really like what they were going for, and I could, like, it works because, again, it's the same thing of banking on this guy's superstardom to drive home a point which is very symbolic, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, so when I saw it in theaters, I was like just very confused for a while. I was like, wait, what just happened? Did this actually happen, or... You know,
exactly.
Then I was like thinking about it, and then I was like, okay, this is pretty interesting. It's very unusual for
a mainstream film, basically, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and also like for an Indian film of any language to take that approach, and in a way it makes sense though. Anyway, we'll leave you as the audience to go see it and make your judgment.
Yeah, there's also a bit of Rajkumar Hirani treatment in the middle. When they go for like this, the public, I don't know if this is a spoiler again, but where they go for like a social media campaign and they try to, you know, run a campaign against what they're facing. And, you know, do you remember that?
Yeah, it's also, but it's very like, it just comes and goes. It doesn't really get anywhere. Or...
Yeah, that's one part which was just, I think, just there.
Yeah. Even actually I guess the romantic part kind of goes somewhere, but it could have also been avoided. It wouldn't have made a huge amount of difference, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's one drawback for me also. It was the length of the film. I felt it could have been shorter.
Yeah, it's actually pretty long. Although in the theater, and I mean, again, I don't know if this was the case or not, but if I'm not wrong, they don't actually have the interval exactly halfway through the film.
Okay, I'm not sure of this.
Because I remember, I didn't know how long the movie was going in. And I think the interval comes just after the hour mark. And 10 minutes something. I said, okay, fine. Like 2 hour, 20 minute, 2 hour, 30 minute film. But then the film is actually much longer than that. And the second half is much longer. But I didn't actually feel it while watching the film. Like after I came out of the theater and looked at the time, I was like, oh wow, it's been 3 hours. But while watching it, I didn't feel it as a viewer. Like then looking back and when I think of, okay, yeah, this part maybe wasn't really required. This part wasn't that impactful. I think it could have benefited a bit, but while watching it, I was kind of invested throughout.
The music is, by the way, by Santosh Narayan. Do you know his previous stuff? He's done a lot of good South Indian films.
No, I don't know. What else has he done?
So he scored the previous Rajinikanth film by the same director. It's called Kabali.
Kabali, yeah.
Kabali was, by the way, much more disappointing than this. I mean, I've reached the halfway point and it was very, very average.
Yeah, so Kabali, like we, on the podcast that we did of Kabali, we covered this last year when it came. So actually, I was kind of generally positive about it.
Really?
Yeah, because I expected a full-on Rajinikanth film. I was not that excited for. And what I got was different. So I was like, okay, this is cool. I kind of get, I appreciated the attempt to do something different. And our guest on the show is this guy called, coincidentally, another person called Bharat.
Oh, okay.
But who is Tamilian and is like a diehard Rajinikanth fan. And he hated the film for all the reasons that I liked it. Because he went in expecting a typical Rajinikanth film, and that's what he wanted. So when he didn't get he was like, what is this? But yeah, in comparison to this, it's definitely much inferior.
Yeah, and I feel, I'm sure the themes are all there, right? The themes of oppression and oppressed class, fighting back. The themes are all there, but this is just a more fine, finished, polished product, right?
Yeah. And I think this is also more, from a technical perspective, is definitely much better done, better executed. Mm-hmm. I think it's also just topically much more relevant and much more like immediate.
Correct.
You know, like people are actually going through this and living it as we speak. Or a larger, it's much more visible. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, just one more thing. I think I really also appreciated the different shades of opinions. Again, it depicts the oppressed classes, but there are also moderates. Then there are also the, you know, extremists.
Yeah.
So it's showing the entire, conversation rather than just whitewashing the bad guy as a bad guy, the good guy as a good guy. In fact, in one of the scenes, right after, Rajinikanth has had a bit to drink, and one of his sons or two of his sons come to talk to him about leaving the house, you know.
Yeah.
And the kind of argument that he makes is very, like, to me, is not heroic at all, you know. It's a little orthodox, if you think about it. So, as a viewer, suddenly I was trying to think, do I root for this guy right now or do I not? Even when he's lampooning that his other son, youngest son Lenin, there is some point to what Lenin is saying, right?
Correct. But I found that quite nice because
it's amazing, yeah.
Yeah. But even like when he talks about Lenin, I think there's one point where he says, like, you know, he and I may disagree, but he respects this ground. Like he's doing it with the right motivation. And I found that, you know, usually family drama in all films is just like completely melodramatic and get out of my house. Even then, the point where his youngest son does leave home, but that whole sequence is also not dramatic. It's quite funny, in fact. Like his mother is like making fun of him, and like it's nicely done.
Yeah, it's very delicate, like fine line between comedy and melodrama, and it sort of goes somewhere in between. It's very well done.
Cool. Anything else on Kala?
No, I think that's it, dude. Just I would really recommend it. I would highly recommend it to And not just Rajnikanth fans, but also people who just like a good time at the movies, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely a better superstar vehicle than, say, any of the recent Khan films, you know.
You're not watching Race 3 today?
Dude, I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to watch Race 3, period. So. Maybe cool. For unintentional humor, but because it's, I think from what the initial reviews are, it's just plain bad. Like, it's terrible, basically.
I mean, that much was evident from the trailer.
Yeah.
But yeah. I will end up watching it, I'm sure. but yeah.
You watched Prem Ratan Dhanpayee?
I did watch Prem Ratan Dhanpayee.
Shit, dude. Yeah. I saw it like recently and
yeah. I like to tell myself I watch these movies just for the podcast. at some point, I don't know who I'm fooling, but
deep down, you know, you're a masochist.
But I watch it. I mean, no, honestly, there are like Race 3 I would watch regardless because I honestly really loved Race. Like at the time that it came out and at the age I was and with my limited knowledge and appreciation for film and whatever, I really liked it.
Okay.
The first Race film. Like I thought it was it was a good action film. There are like plot twists that you genuinely don't see coming. It's like if you go and watch a Fast and a Furious film or whatever, it's like similar to that. Race 2, I was like a bit older, a bit more worldly wise. And I was like, okay, this is pretty bad, but it's like time pass viewing. Like it's just entertaining to also laugh at how bad it is. This one is just like, why has this been made? What is the point of this?
Yeah, that's what, dude.
Yeah. So I think I would watch it just because I've seen that. I would not have watched Prem Ratan Dhanpayee, I'm pretty sure. I would not have watched like a film like Dishoom.
Although no, Dishoom is a good film. I'm not even kidding.
No, we've had many conversations about this. But
you don't like it.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have watched Veer the Wedding either, which I did.
Oh, you did, right? Yeah. So this was in the last podcast.
This was the last podcast.
What was your, like, just give me, like, your it's views, bad. Like, one and two, it's like. Bad.
You can go listen to the last podcast to find out why, but it's just bad. It got a lot of PR and press for, I think, the right reasons. In that there is no major male character. It is a film that's just unapologetic about girls being open and talking about sex and being, you know, not caring, not conforming to what society expects girls to conform to, and showing their struggle with having to deal with that. So it checks all those boxes. But there's just no substance to the film. Like after a while, it's just like, okay, you've done these things, but there's no plot, there's no story. The acting is pretty pathetic for the most part.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a good step in terms of, yes, there are, you know, completely female-led films being made, but objectively as a film, it's bad.
Oh shit. Okay. So should we be happy that it's earned, close to 100 crores? Or should we be sad about that?
It depends on your perspective, right? I think it's much more deserving of 100 crores than Race 3 is. So, it's nice in that it will at least, like that plus also Razi, which is a very different type of film. But these films, doing these numbers without having like a big male star will at least encourage more people to back films like that and tell more stories. So in that sense, I think it's a positive from a precedent setting point of view. But otherwise, I mean, yeah, like I can understand why it does well, like why it did well, because it's a fun, it's like a leave your brain at home kind of thing.
Okay, fine. I'll just go back to the previous podcast and listen to it.
Yeah. Cool. So on the previous podcast, we already discussed the trailer of Race 3 plus a few others, which means the only order of business left today is to discuss Dhadak, which is a trailer that has come out to massive hatred.
But I would want you to react because you've not seen the film, right? The previous, this one.
Sarat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've not seen that, right? So what is your opinion? Just as a, be as a unbiased as possible.
Yeah. So, see, the thing is, it was hard to, like, I'll tell you my journey of watching the trailer. the first time I saw the trailer had been released was someone had shared the trailer accompanied with a message of outrage that what has Bollywood done to Sara?
Oh, yeah.
So then I watched the trailer and to me, honestly, I felt pretty neutral about it. In terms of, I didn't think it looked terrible.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it looked anything special. Like, it just looked like any other recent Starcade vehicle launch, like Mirza or like, you know, what was it? Hero, the Athiya Shetty and Suraj Pancholi film.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hero, yeah. If it had not been a remake of Sarat, I would have just thought, okay, this is just going to be one of those other films that comes and goes without a trace, because nothing about the actors also struck me as being very mind-blowing. It'll just be that, okay, now people know who they are. This film will come and go. And then maybe in their next film, if they do something, their careers will go somewhere, otherwise not. But because of this whole Sarat, and Sarat has been on my list of things to watch for a while, and I actually wanted to watch it before doing this podcast, but then I felt sick, so I couldn't. I've just been hearing amazing things about it. So I thought, okay, like, let me, I don't have time to watch the film. So let me just watch the trailer of Sarat.
Okay.
Because I saw people also saying is that the trailer is like in a lot of ways a frame by frame copy with a few extra elements added here and there. Like, the first thing I thought of was Okay Janu, which was, like, literally the same film remake.
Yes.
And I also saw Okay Janu without seeing Okay Kanmani, and I thought Okay Janu was bad. So then I saw the trailer of Sarat, and honestly, just from the trailer, there is a world of difference. That even that without watching the film, the trailer has so much emotion, and it feels so real. Like, Dhadak feels like a kind of constructed world and universe where these things are happening.
It's like a film.
Yeah, it feels like a film. I can tell that, you know, despite the fact that they tried to bring in that vernacular and I know that Janhvi Kapoor is not from a small town. Like, you can tell.
Yeah. You can tell
that Ishan Khattar is not. So, in that sense, I understand the outrage. And in terms of if the film really, if Sarat is as great as everyone thinks it is. Mm-hmm. Just from seeing the trailer, I understand, because it's not even, just from the two trailers, I don't think this even, Dhadak even holds a candle to Sarat.
This is pretty much mirroring my thoughts, because I watched the trailer and I had a very different journey, because I've seen Sarat at least, I think, 3-4 times.
Yeah.
And Sarat is not a very short watch. It's a long film.
Yeah.
2 hours, 53 minutes, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
And I've seen it end to end, all 3 times, because I don't know. I personally loved the film.
Hmm.
And it is very interesting. Again, the less you know about Sarat going in, the better. So I will not say anything about Sarat. I'll just say, like, exhort people listening to this and to you, is that just go and watch it. Because it's a very well, very well made film, according to me. And even if you don't like it, everybody who has seen the film agrees that it's very, very well crafted.
Yeah.
Okay. So even if you hate it, which I'm sure a lot of people do, because there is something in the film which is polarizing. Okay. So either you will love it or you'll hate it. And there are people who sort of like it, sort of don't love it. But there are a lot of people who hate all the film as well. But not because it's badly made. You know?
Right.
Maybe for what actually happens in the film, you know, the content of it is what
right,
I'm saying.
So right, yeah.
That can be debatable. But again, for me, that worked. That worked wonders. So I was not able to watch the trailer with that openness, you know, of not having watched Sarat. So
yeah.
At all the points, I was just cringing. I was literally stopping the playback and just putting my head in my arms and going, why did they do this?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to rant, because obviously somebody who shared it with me had already ranted about it. So
I've only seen people ranting about this film. Apart from people who are close to Janhvi Kapoor or Ishan.
Yeah. So, and I frankly think Ishan might be a good actor. I think, because he seems genuine. I'm objectively talking about this right now, because I feel he did not lack intensity for sure.
Hmm.
He had that. But with Janhvi Kapoor, I just felt that she was subhuman. I don't know why.
That might be the best description I've heard. Subhuman.
She didn't seem real at all. Like, she didn't feel like a person. I don't know what's wrong. Maybe I'm just being too harsh because she's a star kid. That could be it. But then I've watched it again and again and again, and I just can't understand her expressions. Okay.
There aren't any to understand.
It's a clean slate, dude. It's like when an actor says, "Now I'm a clean slate and you can draw on me. As a director, you can just tell me where to go."
Yeah.
It's like the director did not tell. It's really, and she doesn't by any stretch of imagination seem like anywhere close to a village, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly.
So it's just is very disingenuous. Maybe like, even by the way, in the film Sairat, they're from two different communities.
Yeah.
They're from very different backgrounds, both socially, economically.
Hmm.
Right. But then when you look at the girl, it's not like she has lived her entire life somewhere else, right?
Correct.
So her skin, for example, will be the same as others in the village. That you can't change. I mean, if you want to make a realistic film, that is. So again, I can't go beyond the acting of the original, these actors, because it's so real. I can't imagine Janhvi Kapoor even filling the shoes of the previous actress. I forget her name.
Rinku Raju.
She's a phenomenal actor. Yeah, Rinku. Her acting is phenomenal. More than even the guys. It's her acting which propels the film at many points.
Yeah.
So, I would suggest that you watch the original and just watch it again when Dhadak comes out. So.
Yeah.
And also, a big part of the original film is the caste issue, right?
Yeah.
The caste difference between the two. And I think I read it in a Outlook article or somewhere where these people have gone on air saying that we have tried to minimize the caste angle because it's not about caste, it's about a love between them. But, I mean, that's just shit. That's bullshit. Because the entire film, Sairat, is about caste.
Yeah.
It is not anything else but that. So if you divorce that angle from Sairat, you basically have Dhadak, which is shit.
Yeah, I think the moment in the trailer that summarized it best was the slate which comes, which says, from the makers of Badrinath Ki Dulhania and Humpty Sharma Ki Dulhania.
Yeah, dude.
I was like, not even a hint of irony. Like, why? Why would you do this?
Anyway, so, but yeah, I mean, but again, having said all this, I would, if it were actually a good film, one part of me is always the idealist, okay? So I'm saying maybe, just maybe, because see, Shashank Khaitan, for whatever you might fault him for, at least knows the pulse of the people, you know. Even with Badri Ki Dulhania or with the Humpty Sharma Ki Dulhania, these are well-received films, if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
So, what I'm saying is this person probably knows the pulse of the people. What he might add might be different from what the original is about, which is, again, interesting. Because for me, I'm saying, okay, so you've taken it upon yourself. I'm sure Shashank Khaitan and these people are intelligent people.
Yeah.
So they know the value of removing caste from a film that is about caste.
Hmm.
If they do that, I'm now interested in seeing how they make it interesting. Right?
Or if they make it interesting.
If they make, I mean, obviously, if that already I've covered. Like, I've already covered the hatred towards this. But having said all of that, I'm really interested in knowing that if they succeed, how they do it.
Okay? Yeah, fair enough.
So, I just, yeah, that's probably all from my end on this.
Cool. And I think that's all we have for this episode.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Bharat, for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments. If there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of, we will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.
This podcast is sponsored by iQBAR. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.